study, so we actually will have a time to respond before lunch today. This is the first time I'm with y'all. Normally I'm with the high schoolers. I thought I'd just introduce myself. My name is Mark Lee. I'm from the church in Cambridge, Massachusetts, which is right next to Boston. But actually, I've only been there for the last 5 years. I grew up actually when I was in children's meeting. I was actually in the church in New York City. And that was for a few years. So I grew up in Staten Island. I met in the Queens Meeting Hall. And then I moved to Iowa. I moved to Fort Dodge, Iowa for a couple years. And I moved to the West Coast, to San Diego. And then I was in Los Angeles. Anyway, and then now I'm back, kind of in the East Coast, in the Boston area. And I really felt like, with all the my life of moving back and forth, I felt like when I'm home is one when I'm at my place. I have an apartment in Medford. When I'm at my parents' place, they actually also moved there in the Alabama now. Or also when I'm just with the saints, I feel like I'm at home. Amen. Anyway, home is where the saints are, where my parents are. Even it's just home is in the church life.
Amen.
So, as Brother Frank shared, we're covering session 9. This is page 26. How about, can we all read the title all together?
Amen.
So session 9, everyone have it? Read the title.
The building up of the body of Christ in oneness and the increase and the spread of the church.
So I'll share on the first half, on the building up of the body of Christ in oneness. And then Eric will share on the second half. So we've been seeing that the church is so precious to God. God desires the church as a place of rest. Not because he's tired, but because he needs satisfaction. But now we kind of want to get into this. How do we build up the church as the body of Christ? The title says, in oneness. So I want to start by doing this. Hopefully we can kind of... I'm going to ask a question. I'm going to write, God is... And maybe you can just tell me one word answers of the attributes of God. Okay? So God is... I heard life. God is life. Okay. Sure, you can just shout it out. And if I hear it, then I'll say it. Okay. I heard perfect. God is faithful. Righteous. Life. Loving. Okay, that's pretty good for now. There's a lot of things that the Bible says that God is. And these are true. Yeah. But actually, I want to impress with you. I'll write this word. Hopefully, you can write it. God is one.
That's right.
One. O-N-E. Actually, oneness is the highest attribute of the triune God. This is what he is before all these things, or as a basis. He is one. Okay? The God... We have the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, but they were all one. Even as God created man, in oneness they had a council. So I hope you're impressed that God is one. This oneness, or even you say God is oneness. This oneness is what we'll kind of get into to see how the church as a body of Christ is being built up. Because you can build with many things, but if you don't build in oneness, it may be a counterfeit. God may not like it. Or it may not even last. This oneness is the building material that God is building with. God is building the church. And so, for example, I want to give an example. You may consider this oneness can be likened to electricity. So electricity right now is powering the lights. It's powering the AV for you to hear me. Even is supplying energy to the AC.
That's right.
Who has AC here on the camp? Like in your lodging area? I don't, actually. I shouldn't be raising my hand. But I have a fan. Even the electricity is powering the fan.
Amen.
And then last weekend, on Saturday till Lord's Day, there was no electricity. So for a period of time, there was no light, no AC, no fan. Right? There was no source. There was no power to supply all these things. But hallelujah, we got the AC, we got the electricity back.
Amen.
So we can say electricity is a thing that's flowing amongst all these things that's being supplied and energized. But even you can liken God, the triune God, as the power plant that we were temporarily cut off. Mm-hmm. Right? There was that blackout. We had no electricity flowing in. We had all these things connected to each other, but there was just no power.
Yeah. Right.
So there was no shining. There was no supply of the cool, refreshing air.
That's right. Yeah.
So we need the electricity to be the one flowing in all these outward things. But actually, we need God as our oneness in order to build up the church.
Amen.
And then afterwards, actually, the light came, the power came back. Praise the Lord. Then, but you would just consider things were not connected properly. Who was there last night when Brother Peter was giving the PowerPoint message? There was a period of time when it all went black, at least for the projection, right?
Yeah, that's right.
There was a disconnect in even the connection. We still had the electricity from the power plant, but then something happened that caused there to be an insulation, right, between the flow. And then James had to come in to save the day, to turn it on, or I'm not sure what our brother did. But not only do we need the power from the source, right, we need to be connected properly. So you can say we can have God as our source. We need to be one with God. Right? God as our God is oneness. We need God as our oneness. But then we also need to be one with one another.
Yeah.
And I should get into this a little bit later. Can we all read the first Roman numeral all together?
By the intrinsic oneness and the outward practice of the one accord, Christ the head, the perfecting gifts, and the perfected saints will build up the body of Christ.
Amen.
So we see, actually, in this whole outline, if you look at my outline, I was just impressed. I saw oneness or one so many times. I don't know if you have a highlighter, if you have a pen. Every time you see the word one or oneness, I want you to underline it as we get through this outline. But even in the first Roman numeral, there's an intrinsic oneness, and there's the practice of the one accord.
That's right. Yeah.
So what that is God has our oneness inwardly, how we feel towards one another, and even there's an expression. Just like all the lights, they're all lined up properly. They all have the same electricity flowing through. There's a proper expression. They're shining in oneness. We flip the switch, all of them turned on. Right? Because they were connected to each other, and they're all connected to the PowerPoint, the power plant as the source. So, okay, how about brothers? Read Roman letter A.
There is only one God. He has three aspects. The Father, the Son, Holy Spirit. God is one in His essence, in His purpose to build up the church.
So we see, how many gods are there?
One.
How many gods?
One.
But even with these three aspects, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, don't ever think there's three gods. We only have one God.
Amen.
And even He has one in who He is, in His essence, in His purpose, one purpose.
Amen.
I'll read the sub-points. God is one in His economy. Basically, you can think of it, God is one in His plan.
Amen.
He has one plan.
Amen.
So there's what? God is oneness, and there's one plan.
Amen.
And I want to impress you with, there is a principle of oneness. Everything He does, He only does once.
Yeah.
He doesn't do one thing, and then He does another thing that's separate or contrary to it. So there's one plan, right? One God. And then how about actually, all together on B. This is actually a point I want to cover. Everyone on B.
God is one in every aspect. His expression must also be in oneness. As with one husband, there is one wife, so also there is only one church, as the full expression of the one God.
So here you see one five times. He's one in every respect. In everything He is one. So what He expresses, what He does, what is seen, is oneness.
Yeah.
So an example, what he ordained, as we saw, God's order is one husband for one wife. Hope you would never forget this.
Amen.
It's one husband for one wife.
Amen.
And then also, as we've been hearing, in each locality, or even how many churches do we have?
One.
There's one church.
That's right.
The universal church.
Yeah.
Or even you can ask yourselves to make it more personal. How many bodies do you have, like physically right now? One body. You don't see anybody with two heads, with two bodies. There's one head, there's one body, there's one church.
Yeah.
Amen.
And this is the expression of our one God.
Amen.
How about brothers on C?
The Lord's Prayer in John chapter 17 shows His aspiration for the oneness of His body. The organic oneness of the body of Christ is the organic oneness in the triune God.
So we see here that oneness was so important to God that even He prayed for it. This is what He wants us to enter into.
Amen.
How about for your memory verses that you guys are memorizing? Can we all turn to it? Let's just read the first verse. This is John 17:21. This is the Lord's Prayer for oneness. But He was... Yeah, well, let's read it first. And let's get into it. So... John 17:21. If you don't have your Bibles, it's on page 28. We read all together. John 17:21.
That they all may be one, even as you, Father, are in me, and I in you. That they also may be in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me.
So at least I'll open the first part. He prayed that they all may be one. This is what the Lord desires to be. But then He says, even as. So He was giving a reference point. He wants us to be so one as the triune God Himself.
Amen.
He wants us to be one not only with God, but one as God is one. Okay? Okay, how about sisters on D and all together on E? In your outline. Ready? Go.
Immediately after the Lord's Prayer in John 17, He went to the cross and accomplished redemption for us. In His resurrection and ascension, He became the Spirit and breathed the Spirit into His disciples.
Amen.
This accomplished the oneness of the body.
Amen.
B.
The oneness of the body was accomplished by the triune God. And we began to experience this oneness when we believed and were baptized.
Amen.
Our baptism brought us into a mystical and organic union with the process triune God, so that all of us, the believers in the Son, may be one in this organic union.
Amen.
So we're going to see after the verse we read in John 17, the Lord prayed for us to be one. Then He went to the cross and accomplished this oneness for us. He died for us, not only for our sins, but so that this oneness, for this oneness, for Him to become the Spirit, for this oneness to get into us.
Yeah.
So I want to write the next thing. If we've believed in the Lord, you've repented and believed, we have this oneness.
Right. We have this oneness.
And I heard that some actually are considering getting baptized. You see that this next point, we believe and are baptized, we're baptized into this oneness.
Amen.
We pray, we receive this oneness, but this is confirmed, this is testified, this is displayed to the entire world, that we are being brought into the oneness of the triune God, even to the oneness of the body of Christ.
Amen.
So this is... This is something we have initially, right? God is one. He is oneness itself. We receive this oneness. We have this oneness. But now I feel like as we reach this point, we're realizing as we get into these verses in Ephesians 4, we need to keep this oneness.
Amen.
Now can we turn back into our verses? Can we read Ephesians 4, 3 through 6? Ephesians 4, 3 through 6.
Be diligent to keep the oneness of the Spirit in the uniting bond of peace. One body and one Spirit, even as also you were called in the one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all.
So the last thing I want to write is, we need to be diligent to keep this oneness. So if Paul is telling the Ephesians, the church in Ephesus, be diligent to keep this oneness, that means they already have it. But he's reminding them, keep this oneness, meaning that this oneness can be lost. You know, we can have something, we can be given something, but if we don't, if we aren't careful, we can lose it.
Yeah, right.
So it's the same thing with oneness. God has given to us, God has given this oneness to us, but we need to be diligent to keep this oneness. If we don't have this oneness, we don't have a way to build up the body of Christ. And so even for the practice of oneness in the body, universally and locally, there's this matter of oneness that needs to be kept. So what does this look like? Maybe it may still be a little abstract to you, but I want to bring up one thing, just even considering our speech.
Yeah.
How we speak to one another, about one another. You guys know this word, clicks? Have you heard of it?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. You can write it. I don't want, well, clicks. Basically, it's a group that becomes exclusive where no new people can come in. And maybe you've either been consciously or unconsciously a part of it, or maybe you've been on the receiving end of being outside. Right? We all need companions. We all need ones to be built up with, to pray together with. But when no new people are added or allowed to join, then it's a click. Even I would say that's a way of breaking or losing the oneness of the Spirit. Because then, if I want to enjoy the Lord with Gabe, but then he already has a group, and I want to join in, he's like, maybe he doesn't even say anything. Then there's no way for me to enter in. I'm, hey Gabe, and he maybe ignores it. Maybe this is done unconsciously. But just to realize, even our awareness, we are members, right? We all have a part. We're all members of the body of Christ, even more members one of another. We not only need to be built up, but we actually need to not be a clique, and you realize we need to keep the oneness even in how we view towards one another, and I want to talk about how we speak about one another. Maybe another question. Have you guys ever talked about someone else in this way? Maybe you'd be like, hey Curtis, if he's my companion. That Eric, that guy over there, he's a little weird. Or you know what? He smells. Or you know, or maybe a sister so and so would say to another sister about sister C, she's a jerk. You know, have you even heard this kind of talk? Like, either we ourselves would be guilty of having spoken those things, heard these things, or even worse, maybe we're the ones being spoken of. Maybe we don't tell it directly, but everything that we speak becomes a seed sown. It's not just something for today, and then we forget about it, but it's something that becomes a seed. You guys know a plant, a seed that gets sown, it eventually grows up. You reap something. So even at this age, I'm so, you know, it's so wonderful you can hear about this now, to keep the oneness, especially in how we speak about or towards one another. This would be something that's for the next 10 to 20 years. So you guys are what? Maybe between 12 to 15 years old? Is that right? 10 to 13, 10 to 14. In 10, 20 years, maybe you'll be in college together. Maybe you'll be in the full-time training together. Or maybe you'll just be in the same locality, in the same church together. But then, if what you spoke, what I spoke to Curtis about Eric, and if Curtis and Eric are together 10 years from now, he'll just remember, oh, he's just the guy that smells. You know, it's kind of funny. It's just kind of like, maybe that would never happen. But every word that we speak, I want to, if you have your Bible now, it's not in your memory verses. Can you all turn to Ephesians 4? We'll read four verses. Right. Ephesians 4, right. Verses 29-32. Right. Should we read all together? Ephesians 4, 29-32. Yeah. Ephesians 4, 29-32. Ready? Chapter 4, verses 29-32. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but only that which is good for building up, according to the need, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, in whom you were sealed until the day of redemption. Amen. Let all bitterness and anger and wrath and clamor and evil speaking be removed from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ also forgave you. So I want to point out two things. One, it says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but only that which is good for building up. What we speak, it's not just at the microphone, but even outside, especially more so outside of the meetings, what we speak to one another, about one another, it should be good for building up. Amen. And in verse 30, it says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. That's right. In simple words, it's to make sad. This makes God sad. He's not angry. He wouldn't be, maybe he's a little disappointed, but he's sad. Just this is what would hurt his heart. For you to speak about another member in a certain way, even if you were joking or even if you didn't mean it in a full serious way, even in a lighthearted way, this is what would grieve the Holy Spirit. And this is what would not build up the body of Christ. So the oneness that we have that we need to keep is so practical. Yes. It's within us. Even when we speak, we can speak words of building up. Yeah. And actually, I'll point out to one last verse before I turn it over to Eric. In 1 Timothy 4, this is Paul speaking to his younger co-worker. He said, this is in verse 12, let no one despise your youth. You may have heard this before. Let no one despise your youth.
Amen.
No matter how young you are, let no one despise your youth, but be a pattern to the believers. And the first thing mentioned is in word.
Amen.
In word, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. But the first thing, that no one would despise us as we're patterned to the ones younger than us, in children's, the children, the toddlers, even the ones older than us, our serving ones, our parents, even other saints. We can be a pattern to them in word and how we speak. This is how the Lord will have a way in us to build up the body of Christ.
Amen. Amen. Why don't we stand up real quick? Let's just take a quick stretch break. Let's just say, Lord Jesus, I love you. One more time.
Lord Jesus, I love you.
Wonderful. Okay, we can go ahead and sit back down. Okay, my name is Eric. I'll give you all a brief introduction before I begin. My name is Eric Romero. I am from Cambridge, Massachusetts. I'm from the same city as Mark. And I was also born in New York. Well, I don't think Mark was born in New York, but I was born in New York. So it's good to be back home with you all.
But I moved out when I was really young. I was 5 years old. I moved out to this incredible place called California, you know, where it never gets this hot. It's always sunny, you know. Not all the time, but that's where I grew up in California. I went to school out there at UCLA. I studied nursing, so I'm a nurse. And then after I went to a Bible school for 2 years, I got married. My wife is actually in the room. Hey, Rand, can wave her hand? That's my wife. So she's also a nurse, so if you all were sick or anything happened, you probably went to first aid, and you may have met my wife. That's Rand. And I lived in Texas for a year where it's way hotter than this. And then I escaped. No, I went to, now we're in Boston. So now we live in Cambridge, and I serve full-time there. And it's good to be with you all. And at one point in my life, I was also in junior high. Believe it or not. And I was a lot smaller than I am now. So it's good to, it's really good to be with you all. I really appreciated Mark's word on this morning on oneness. What is God?
One.
Hope you remember that. God is one and God is oneness. We have the oneness and we need to keep the oneness. And actually we also need to build the body of Christ in oneness. Okay, so now we're going to make a little bit of a transition to the second part of this message, which is on, let's all read Roman numeral 2 all together. Loudly. 1, 2, 3, go.
The increase and spread of the church.
One more time.
The increase and spread of the church.
The increase and spread of the church. So I'm just going to keep part of this on here. So, you know this, what have we been covering this whole week?
The church.
The church. That's right. The whole week. It's been an awesome week so far. Have you all enjoyed it so far?
Yes.
Yes, it's been incredible. The church is God's masterpiece. Amen. It's His heart's desire. This is what He died for. This is what we're a part of. We love the church.
That's right.
Do you love the church?
Yes.
Ian, do you love the church?
Yes.
Yes, me too. I love the church too. Well, the church is awesome. And we can have a part in building the church. And actually, we can also have a part in the increase and spread of the church. So right now, we're just going to fellowship a little bit about what does it mean for the church to increase? Okay, just by a quick show of hands, have any of you all participated in the increase of the church? You might not know what it means, but I don't know. Maybe. Okay, well, I hope by the end of this morning, maybe you would realize, oh, maybe I did participate. But then you would aspire. You would hope to participate in the increase of the church. Okay, so how about we read A all together?
The increase of the church is to impart Christ to others.
Okay, stop right there. It is to impart Christ. Okay, repeat after me. Impart.
Impart
Christ.
Christ.
Impart Christ.
Impart Christ.
To others.
To others.
To others.
To others.
Impart Christ to others.
Impart Christ to others.
Okay, keep reading.
And make them a part of Christ. The branches of the vine
bear fruit.
Are imparting the life of the vine to others and making them a part of the vine.
So the increase of the church is to impart Christ to others.
Amen.
Okay. Now, let's see a show of hands. How many of you all have participated in the increase of the church before? Okay, a couple more hands than before. So to increase in the church is just to impart Christ into someone else.
Amen.
Isn't that awesome? We can all participate. We can all increase. We can all participate in the increase of the church. And an awesome example for this is a vine. Okay, anybody know what a vine tree is? Yes? No? Okay. Well, I don't have great artistic skills, but I do have a story about a vine. I own a vine. I have a vine in my house. And, okay, I'm going to try. Okay, this is a pot. It looks like a square, but it's a pot. Okay. And here's a... Okay, here we go. Okay, sorry. I'm a nurse. I'm not an artist. Okay. So... Here is a little, okay, we're gonna, this is a golden pothos. Big word. Okay, y'all know what a golden pothos is? It's a vine tree, okay, it's just a vine. It's just a kind of vine. So, about a year ago, Rand and I, we moved to Cambridge, and someone gave us a little plant, and it's called a golden pothos. And I named it, 6 days ago. It took me a whole year to name it. I named it Joy, okay? So we're going to speak about joy. Joy, the golden pothos, which is a vine, okay? A vine. It's a little, it's basically a little tree, okay, that has a stem, and off that stem, there are leaves or fruit that grow. Y'all know what a vine is? Yes? Okay. Well, it looks like this, just way better and way more green, okay? So here we're speaking about the increase of the church is like the branches of a vine bearing fruit, okay? Who is the vine? Who do you think is the vine? Okay, someone tell me strongly. Just guess. If you're wrong, it's okay. Just be livingly wrong. The church? No, that was a good idea, though. Okay. Christ, that's right. Who said that? You? Okay, awesome. That's right. Okay, the vine is Christ. And who are the branches? Okay, so if this is the vine, that's the vine, and that's Christ, who are the branches? That's right, us. Now, while we look at, I don't think it's actually a verse on your memory verse, but okay, I'm going to read you all a verse. Okay, this is from John 15. John 15, 5, it says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Wow, I is Christ, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit.
Amen.
For apart from me, you can do nothing. Okay, we're going to enjoy this verse together. You're all ready? Okay, so we're going to do something called echo prayer reading. Have y'all ever echo prayer read before? So that means whatever I say, you have to say it, okay? With the same intensity. If I do a little motion with my hand, you have to repeat, okay? So we're going to practice. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Oh, some hands didn't go up. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Okay, all right, you're ready. Okay. I. Christ!
Christ!
I am the vine!
Christ is the vine!
The vine!
The vine!
The vine!
Christ is the vine!
You!
You!
Point to your neighbor. You!
You!
Point to your other neighbor. You!
You!
You are the branches!
You are the branches!
You are the branches!
You are the branches!
He who abides in me!
He who abides in me.
Abides in me.
Abides in me.
Lord, we want to abide in you.
Lord, we want to abide in you.
And I in him.
And I in him.
He bears much fruit.
He bears much fruit.
Much fruit.
Much fruit.
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 We want fruit.
We want fruit.
For apart from me.
For apart from me.
Apart from Christ.
Apart from Christ.
Apart from the vine.
Apart from the vine.
You can do nothing.
You can do nothing.
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 You.
You.
Can do nothing.
Can do nothing.
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 Nothing. Wow. Okay, you can stop now. You can stop now. Wow. So apart from Christ, apart from the vine, what can we do?
Nothing.
But when we abide in him, what happens?
Bear
much fruit. Okay. So I got this plant about a year ago. Okay, about a year ago. And I have to confess, I didn't take that good care of the plant. Okay. And my wife would always tell me, Eric, water the plant, water the plant. And I would forget, and I would forget. But until maybe about 1 or 2 months ago, okay, I really started to care for this plant. So when we first got it, it was really, really small. It only had two little leaves on it, okay? But it's incredible. You know what happens? I began to water it more. And what do you think happened as I watered it? It grew. That's right. So it would grow. And as the vine would grow, you know what would happen? Boop, a little leaf. Okay, then I would water it some more. Now I have a water bottle right next to the plant. I usually try to water it a little bit in the morning, a little bit, and I'm caring for joy, you know? Got to care for joy. I got to care for my joy and care for joy. Okay, so then as I water it more, whoop, whoop, another leaf. Okay, now, how many leaves after about 1 year do you think we have? We started out with two, and there's only like a couple inches. How many leaves? 50. Oh, that was close. What did you say?
17.
Wow, excellent. 17. Good guess. Wow. And now it's more, I don't have time to draw 17 leaves, but and now it's more than 3 feet long, and there's 17 leaves on my vine tree. And I'm excited. Actually, in nature, they can grow up to 6 to 10 feet. Actually, out in the wild, they can grow up to 40 feet. They're massive, massive. So we're going to have to see if I can get it all the way around my living room, but we'll see. Okay. I'll come back in 6 years, and I'll tell you how big it is. But how did that happen? It's by watering. And what do the branches do? What are they doing? Yeah, are they trying anything? Are they trying to do anything? No, they're just abiding in the vine. They're just, actually you could say they're enjoying the riches of the vine. So when I put water in here, delicious filtered water, it comes in here, trickles down the roots, they pick it up, and what happens? The water flows through here and it flows into a branch. It flows over here, it's flowing, 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 and then boop, out comes another leaf. So there's life that's coming forth, and it's coming through the vine, and as that life comes through the vine, something pops out, and that's fruit. That's fruit. Okay, now that happens in nature, but that also happens in you and me. It's awesome. And this is how we can participate in the increase of the church, is it's by the overflow of life. Okay, how about you all look at number 3 there under A? And highlight or underline or circle or put a little star right next to these 7 words. Fruit bearing is the overflow of life. Did you all find it? Yes? Yes? Maybe? Okay. Repeat after me. Fruit bearing.
Fruit bearing.
Fruit bearing is the overflow.
Fruit bearing is
Oh, the outflow of life. That's right. So life, as we're enjoying life, what happens is life bubbles up from within us and it overflows to other people. Okay? And as that life overflows, as you share the Christ that you've been enjoying with someone else, you know what that is? That is the increase of the church. It's really something. You know, the church can be maybe mysterious. It's something God created. It's His heart's desire. But how you and I can participate is by enjoying the Lord's life, and as this life bubbles up, it overflows, and the church is increasing. It's growing. It's growing wherever you are. If you're in Nutley, New Jersey, and you overflow to someone else, the church in Nutley is growing.
Amen.
It's awesome. Okay, and I'm going to share, I have a number of stories. And how does the increase happen? How does the increase happen? It happens one by one. I really like that Mark emphasized this word. God is one, and you know how He increases? He increases one by one. Okay, so, okay, I'll tell you a story first. Okay, so, who was born in 2006? Oh, a lot of you all were born in 2006. Okay, so in 2006, I was 14 years old. Okay, I was 14 years old. I know it seems like a long time ago, but it just seems like yesterday. No. So I went to El Salvador. El Salvador is in Central America. It's a Spanish-speaking country. I'm part El Salvadorian. My grandma was having her 75th birthday. Okay, so we all went there with the whole family. I don't have a really big family. I only have, on that side, there's only 5 of us cousins, me, my sister, and 3 cousins. So we went to go visit my grandma. I was 14. So we're having a big sleepover with all the cousins, and we were all kind of hanging out, doing different things, and I was just there, and one of my younger cousins, she's a year younger than me, her name is Isabel, and we're sitting down talking about different things, and then she just turned to me and asked me, you know, what is the purpose of life? Has that ever happened to you guys?
Yes.
It has?
I was the person who wanted to know.
Oh, you asked. Oh, you wanted to know. Okay, that's good. That's good. It's good to ask people that. But actually, sometimes someone may ask you, some of your friends might ask you, oh, you know, Easy, why are you so happy? Why do you have this joy? How can I get this? You know? Some of your friends might ask you this. Okay. Now, how many of you have been apple picking before? Some? Okay, a lot. Wow, a lot of you guys. So when you go apple picking, when you go out, the whole point is not to like climb the whole tree and try to pick like the hardest apple that's, you know, really, really far away. What you look for is the low-hanging fruit, right? Y'all know what that is? Low-hanging. It means it's just easy. You just kind of tap it and it just kind of falls down. So So maybe if someone comes up to you and says, what is the meaning of my life? That's basically low-hanging fruit. Amen. That's like someone walking up to you and giving you an apple. And saying, share the gospel with me. Share something with me.
Yeah.
So I was 14. Okay, I was about your age. This is the first person I ever led to the Lord Jesus when I was 14. She asked me, what is the meaning of my life? And I really wasn't too sure what to say. So I looked at my backpack, and you know what I had in my backpack? I had a Mystery of Human Life tract. Whew! Saved by a tract. So I brought it out, we read through it, and I led her to pray to receive the Lord.
Amen.
And you know what happened? The vine increased. Boop! The church increased. There was another one that was added. And we all can do this. So I want you all to, do you all have a pen on your paper? I want you all to right now, maybe just take 30 seconds to consider. I want you all to write down a friend's name. Someone that you're close with, maybe not right now, and that you also want to be a part of the increase of the church. So how about just write down someone's name, one of your friend's names. Maybe think about it for like 30 seconds. Any of your friends' names that you want them just to grow in the Lord, you want them to enjoy, to love the Lord? Maybe someone you know, someone you're close to. Yeah.
They're asking if they can write someone that's already a believer.
Yeah. If you want to write someone that's already a believer, that's okay too. Yeah, no problem. Maybe most of your friends are believers. That's okay. But our heart is for them to, what does it mean to increase? It's to impart Christ to others. So we want them to receive more of Christ.
Amen.
Okay, do you all have someone written down?
Yeah.
Okay. Someone tell me a name. Someone raise your hand. How about one of the sisters over here?
Yeah.
Alex. Okay. Why don't we all say, oh Lord Jesus, Alex. Why don't we all pray for her friend, Alex. Ready? Oh Lord Jesus, Alex. Okay. How about from this section?
Shirley.
Oh Lord Jesus, Shirley. How about from this section?
Christian.
Oh, wow. We want Christian to become a Christian. Okay. Ready? Oh, Lord Jesus Christian. Okay, how about from that section of girls in the back? Emma. Okay. Oh, Lord Jesus Emma.
Amen.
My dad. Yeah, what's your dad's name?
Johnny.
Ready? We're all going to call the Lord for Johnny. Oh, Lord Jesus Johnny. He goes,
Ajay.
Okay, we got an Ajay. Ready? Oh, Lord Jesus, Ajay. One more.
Dominic.
Oh, Lord Jesus, Dominic. Anyone else want to say one more?
Oscar.
Oh, Lord Jesus, Oscar. Okay, so I think we're going to, hopefully after this, we'll have some time in the group, so maybe we could pray for some of these ones that we wrote down. This is awesome. And actually, when you bear fruit, it's not by yourself. It's not by yourself. You're in a vine. And we're all part of the vine. Okay, how many of you all go to a home meeting, or you're in someone's home for dinner once a night? Okay, a good number. Okay, and if you didn't raise your hand, that's okay. But when you go home, ask your servant one. Okay, I want to get in a home meeting. I want to get in a home. Okay? What's really helpful is that, this is under 3B, the brothers and sisters in the church should help one another in a mutual way in the matter of fruit bearing. Yeah. So maybe the sister is really burdened for Alex to receive the Lord, for Alex to come to know the Lord. But you just don't know what to share with him. Maybe you're praying for him, but you don't know what to share. Well, that's okay. Maybe you're connected with a family on Friday. Just invite Alex. Okay, Alex, come over for dinner. What city are you from? From New Jersey. Okay. Jersey City? Okay, wonderful. Well, I'm not too sure which, maybe one of your servant ones is here. Say, okay, can you prepare a dinner? Can you make a dinner for me and my friend? I'm just going to invite my friend, and you can preach the gospel to them. can have your servant one preach the gospel. Well, you're in a vine, you're in a home where both you could share something, but also the saints that you're with, they're there to support you, to stand with you, to even strengthen you as you share. Okay, so I'm out of time. Okay, can I share with you guys one more story?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Okay, one more story. One little point. The best place to start in the increase of the church is with your friends. That's the best place to start because they know you. Okay, I'm just going to share you a story from last week. I went to a baseball game. Okay, I live in Cambridge. I live really close to Fenway Park, which is where the Boston Red Sox play. Okay, so I went to the game with Josh Becker. He's over there, and Brother Ken, and we got picked up in an Uber. And the Uber, because there's a lot of traffic, took us 45 minutes. It normally only takes about 10 minutes, but it was a really long Uber ride. Okay, so we hop in the Uber, I'm in front, and I notice on the music that our Uber driver, he's listening to Ethiopian music. Mm. Who knows where Ethiopia is? It's in Africa. Actually, Easy's going to be going there this October. So he was from Africa, and we started speaking about Ethiopia, and eventually, we just began to share with him a little bit about the mystery of his human life. I actually had a little tract on my phone with an Ethiopian in Amharic, which is the language they speak in Ethiopia. So we were just sharing with him about being a vessel to contain God. Actually, if you want to know what to share with your friends, something awesome to share with them is just, you are a vessel. God made you to be a vessel to be filled with God Himself. And to be filled with Him, you just have to receive Him. It's really simple. So we were here, we're in this Uber, we're just sharing with Him little by little. And then it came a point where I just said, okay, would you like to receive the life of God? And he said, yes, we're stuck in traffic. I said, okay, Josh is going to lead you to pray to receive the Lord. So you know what happened? Josh led him to pray. And our Uber driver received the Lord. And you know what happened? Boop. Another leap. The church increased. One by one. So it's really awesome. Even in these little ways. Sorry, I ran out of time. There's a lot more stories. But this is how we can participate in the increase of the church. Even with all your friends, one by one, you can share a little something. And maybe some of them might receive the Lord. And if they don't, it's okay. It's no problem. They're not rejecting you. Okay, they're rejecting the Lord. Just remember that. So don't be discouraged. And just continue to pray for them little by little.
Amen.
Okay, so 11:50. I think we have some overflow.
Should we maybe pray one place?
Yeah, that sounds great. Okay, I think Brother Frank will lead us. What to do next?
Okay, so now let's just stand up and find our group. And let's just spend about 10 minutes to pray with the name that you have written down on your booklet. Just let's pray that there will be one of these increase. You know, our prayer counts, right? We need to keep praying for our friends. So you can just stand up.